I've had the privilege, or I've been there at that place. When you visit India, you leave behind everything that goes on here, and you're just connected 100% to Jesus, because that's all you're doing is running. And then when you come back, you don't want to be here. You just want to be somewhere where things are going. But we can have that here too, you know. Amen. One announcement I wanted to talk about, and we didn't have it on the list, is we've been wanting to do a worship prayer night, or I have anyway. And I didn't really ask or run it by them, but I just said last week, and they announced it, that I'd like to do a worship slash prayer night on Sunday nights, first Sunday of the month. Once a month, just something to, in the winter months when it's quieter and people aren't as busy, and if you want to come, you can come, and if you don't want to come, don't feel the pressure, but I'd like to do a more relaxed, not a structured worship, but more of a relaxed family get together and prayer. Heavy on prayer, because that's what we need to direct, to guide. So I'd like to start next Sunday. I know it's kind of short notice, but it is the first Sunday of the month. I don't know, you guys are gone. You said you're preaching at another church. But I'd like to start next Sunday. I don't, would we say six? I didn't really have a time. Does anybody have a preference on time? We can talk about it. But, and again, not a long forever night thing, but I think time spent in worship leading into prayer is time well spent, especially when we gather and do it corporately as a church, as a family. So next Sunday, 6 o'clock at night, and then we'll roll from there on out. Maybe change up some different worship people, change up things, keep it a little more subdued, simple, but concentrating on connecting 100%. Amen? Amen. Lord, I just thank you for this day, Lord, and I just come before you humbly here today. We ask that you just bring forth your word and your message here today, Lord, and it goes forth, Lord, and just falls on fertile ground, Lord, that it motivates, ignites, and just starts a fire, Lord God. I just thank you for each and every person here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I preached about a week and a half ago last Wednesday, if anyone was here. Anybody? There's a few hands that were here. Not as many as I thought, so that's all right. I've been studying and praying and what to preach on. We don't have an agenda. Dad never says, okay, you got this Sunday and you're going to preach on this topic. We don't do that. We don't go over and discuss who's doing what, but it always amazes me how the messages always seem to flow and we're on the same topic, kind of. It's a God thing, amen? So I've been studying and praying what I was going to preach on here. I preached last Wednesday on the parable of the talents and how everybody has a talent and we need to use that and use it. And if we don't, it's going to be taken and given to somebody else. So as I was studying for the message, I had a couple great messages and I started out on them and I'd get about an hour into making notes and studying and I thought I was on the right track and I just come to a dead end. It stopped flowing. It wasn't working. Well, then I'm always studying, always reading, and I've always got things, this thing's always moving up here, and I went on to another one that I thought, yeah, this is a good one. And the same thing. I got in there studying, and I'm at a dead end. It's just not flowing. It's kind of beating my head on the wall. And in the same time, we're busy working, we're busy with life, busy running, and I went through three messages that someday are going to be good messages. They're just not for today. Kind of felt like I was playing Go Fish with God a little bit. How about this? You got any Go Fish? Try again, Corey. You come up to the teacher, does this look good? And they just go back, try again. Like I said, I just felt, well, finally. And we're talking, this is yesterday. Yesterday at noon, I'm taking the fireboat out of the water, and we're busy. It's a busy, busy day, and I got to preach tomorrow, today, and I still don't have it. It's still not there, and I'm getting nervous and and worrying, what am I going to talk about? Because I can't talk about what Corey has. Can't come up here and give you what I got, because obviously I didn't have nothing for it. And I heard this song, and my head got stuck, make room. I'll make room for you. So then I ended up coming back to my last message that I preached Wednesday. So if you were here, you might have heard some of this last Wednesday. If you weren't, you're going to get some more again. And it's not a recap, it's not a repeat, but I pretty much heard God say, I'm not done, we got more. I already warned Dad this morning, I'm preaching the same message, so don't get it. When I start reading some of the same verses, the man upstairs directs, and we listen. If we got our ears open to listen. I could have pushed through some of them other messages, but it wouldn't have been what we were here for. So like I said, I'm not going to recap. When I preached 2 Wednesdays ago, I talked about the parable of the talents, and we all know the story. The one servant got 5, the one got 2, the one got 1, and what they did with them. We all know that story. I also talked about it referring to in the text or in the scripture, it refers to talents as money and the value of that money, how much it was. A talent is worth roughly, 15 years? I'm not looking at my notes. It's a lot of money. It's not just a little thing that he trusted him with. It's a lot of value, a lot of money. We also refer to the talents as talents or things that I have to give back. My talents, but in the Bible, in the text, it's referring to money, monetary. But today we're going to think of it as my talents, my gifts that God's given me individually, only me, to use for him. Amen. Some of the youth is still here. Anybody a gamer? Play games? I'm not a gamer, never have been. I've picked a controller up once or twice in my life and realized, yeah, I'm not a gamer, and I got no desire to be a gamer. But anybody who is a gamer, talking to our youngins back here, and actually this is probably beyond them because I'm talking about old school Nintendo. Like the 90s maybe? Old school Nintendo? Everybody know about cheat codes? You kids in the back, you know about cheat codes on game? Titus, he plays games, I know. He doesn't play games. His dad plays games. I know that. And his sisters play games. Cheat codes. Anybody know what a cheat code is? In the old days, the Nintendo, you had I believe it was up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, start. Is that right? Sound right? I got to put that slide up, Rocky. It's in there somewhere. I didn't really know, but I knew it a cheat code, but I didn't know. Yeah, up, up, down, down. And that gives you special powers. It gives you more energy. It gives you more. You're not as susceptible to being hurt. It gives you more lives. And once you've discovered those codes, you can't hardly play the game without them anymore. Who wants to just go through as a normal when you can go through with superpower and extra things? And there's all kinds of cheat codes in these games where you can learn them, and they're not in the directions. But you got to learn them. And once you learn them, it opens up a whole new world for you. I know kids can get, people can get obsessed with gaming. It's a whole nother world. They can fall in love with it. You can get sucked into that world, and you're gonna live there. And I'm not here to preach against gaming, but I'm just using it as an example. As Christians, we need our life to be like that. Something that we're so into that we want to be involved in that we need to just, and we dive all in, and I'm living there, but not here. We need to be all in. So, Brittany asked me earlier after worship practice what the topic of my message was, and I didn't tell her. I said, just wait and find out. I was being kind of mean, but I don't have a topic. I'm preaching on the parable of the talents, but I also think you could use it as cheat codes. Cheat codes, Corey's cheat codes for getting through life. I don't know. I might be on, I might be off, but I got a few points and I want to give you a few cheat codes. So if you're taking notes, And I always talk about it's on the final test. Someday I'm going to give a final test. Maybe I'll put one out there on this, and you got to write it down and give it back to me. But today we're talking about cheat codes. I got six of them. Again, it comes from some studying and reading I've been doing, and we're going to talk about each one here a little bit. I said before, I don't know why I take notes, because I never follow them a whole lot. Cheat codes that engage the calling on your life. How about that one? So the truth is, most people probably never preach from the pulpit here. We are lucky here at Redemption. We have a lot of pastors. We talked about some pastors here, but we got a lot more pastors that sit in this church and that come to this church and that preach here than just the ones that we talked about here. And we're lucky at that way. Blessed by God, amen. Get to hear a lot of different voices, a lot of different angles, a lot of, and again, it all comes back to one thing. So if you don't preach from the pulpit, what is your calling from God? What's he called you to do? How are you going to influence the life of people around you? How are you going to share God's love? How are you going to share God's message? And not saying that you're not going to preach from a pulpit someday. God's got talents and gifts for each and every single one of us. Each and every single one of us. We're all created by him with a purpose. And a lot of times that purpose is only you, for you. Dad can't minister to my guys at work because he doesn't spend time there. He doesn't live with all the guys at the fire hall. That's my mission there. I got to do my work to spread to them. Each and every one of us has a specific gift. We could have a whole bunch of gifts. We need to follow them. We need to discover them. We need to engage those gifts and not just leave them tucked away hiding in the closet. So I need to make one distinction here, a little bit of ground rules. Christians, we are all called to what? Follow Jesus. That is the root of everything. It's the root of every call, and our main mission is to follow Jesus, to seek after him 100% with your whole heart. But today I'm talking about our individual talents. So I'm going to read that Matthew again, parable of talents. It's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it. Maybe. What did I do with my glasses? Yeah, I tucked them underneath there. Joys of getting old. Matthew 25:14. I'm going to read the whole thing quick. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to their own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides what you had given me, besides them. His Lord just said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more besides them. And his Lord said to him the exact same thing he said to the one that had 5. Well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he who had received the 1 talent and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sowed and gathering where you have not scattered seeds. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. You have what you gave me. But that's all you have. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money in the bankers, with the bankers, and at my coming I could have received my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a story we've all heard. We all know this story. Really, and this is kind of where I'm going a little bit here on today, is this parable is a parable about stewardship. Amen? Stewardship. That's kind of my buzzword for the day here a little bit. It's a parable about stewardship. It's interesting in the parable he takes from, contrary to kind of popular belief now or what we seem to do, he takes from those him who has the least and gives to him who has the most. It's kind of not the world we're living in nowadays. Everything goes to, we got to give to the poor and we got to help them out. And that's a good thing. This parable's proven a point. Parable's showing us the importance of stewardship. So, if you're taking notes, if you need a notebook, I got some extras right here. If you got yours, cheat code number one, stewardship. I think we all need to fall in love with stewardship. It's not that exciting of a word, really. It's not a real catchy phrase or a catch, but it's an important word. It means a lot. It brings a lot about. Social media. Anybody on social media? Regretfully, I am a little bit, just to keep up with work and everything. That thing reads your mind. It knows your thoughts. I don't know how. Even when I have my tinfoil hat on, it still figures it out. So when I scroll through there, I'll get ads all the time that say, master the guitar in 14 days. Learn to shred in 14 days. Because somehow it knows that I like guitar. I don't know if it hears me playing. I don't know. So, of course, I got to look a little bit because maybe I can get a little bit of nugget out of this and I can learn something and someday I'll be like Paul. Maybe not. Paul's had a lifetime of learning to shred, which kind of goes against my principle here. But so I read it and I open up the ad and it's page after page and they're trying to get you your attention and drawing in. And all I want to know is how much. And I can't find it, and I can't find it, and I got to click a little bit more, and then it wants me to enter my email or a phone number or something, and I'm scared to do that, and I'm keeping, but I want to learn to shred guitar in 14 days. That's awesome. And finally, you get down to the 72 pages in, and it has a price that's $10 million. But today, just for you, Corey, special is we'll give you 50% off of 50% off of 100% off. And if you do this right now, it's $19.95. $10 million down, and I'm like, yes, $20. I can afford that. I usually never get sucked in. I've never really done it. But in my brain, I'm $20. I can try this out. When it comes to our talents, that's how most of us want it. I want to be a really good guitar player, better than I am, but I don't want to put that much effort in. I mean, I put some effort in, but I want it easy and I want it fast, right? 14 days, I can be like Paul in 14 days. For $20, who wouldn't want that? Wouldn't you? I mean, holy smokes, why not? We want our talents to be like that. I want to do something for God, but I want it to happen right now, and I want it to be fast, and I don't want it to cost me a whole lot because I'm not willing to give a whole lot. Anybody feel like that sometimes? I don't want to give up much. I'm not willing to put in the lifetime of practicing and learning and understanding music theory so I can play some jazz. But if I could get it for $20 right now in 14 days, same with maybe a health ad. Get a six-pack in 10 days. Seen that ad? I'm sure we've all seen that ad somewhere. Stewardship doesn't play by those rules. It doesn't come fast. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come when I want it right now. Stewardship, it doesn't do that for you. We need to commit the time. We need to commit the energy. We need to commit. We have to have that commitment to steward that talent into something. Think of it like a gardener, starting with that seed. You got to take it, you got to tend it, you got to watch it. So to understand biblical stewardship, we need to have one good here point here. Genesis 1:1. I didn't even put it up there because I forgot, and we don't really need it. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. That's it. Stop right there. God created it, heavens and earth. So what's that mean? He's the Lord of it. He's the owner of it. He's the creator. It's his. He's done it. He created the heavens and the earth, the end. Boom. So what does that make me? I'm a steward of it. I'm a manager. He owns it. He owns the store. I'm a manager. I'm not the owner. It's not mine. I don't own nothing. It is his, 100%. So a lot of times when we have the stewardship conversation, kind of a tongue twister there, we don't treat God as Lord. We don't treat him as owner. We don't treat him as the creator. In my mind, I have a talent. Corey has a talent. And I kind of decide what I'm willing to give or how much I'm willing to give. Lord, I'm willing to preach to some people on the street, but as long as they're not scary and it's in a good neighborhood, I don't really like the downtown neighborhood. It doesn't work that way. He's the master. He's the creator. We don't decide. If we're going to steward that gift that he's given us, we need to understand that. Sometimes we're getting it backwards. God has the right. He has the ownership. I'm simply a manager. I'm simply that servant with the talent that he's left me with. And am I doing good things with it? Or am I burying it in the sand or in the dirt? Another thing I think people get tripped up on stewardship, or the thought of that we don't see God as a loving father. See him more as a judgmental dictator. Maybe not so much for us in the church, but people outside the church or people that don't know him as a father. If you don't see God as the living father and you think all he's here to do is judge you, we think of him as a judge, right? He is a judge. He's going to judge us. But if you don't see him as that father, you think all he's here to do is going to wait and say, hey, you messed up, Corey. I told you to preach this and you preach that. You're on your own. We think of him as a judge. We're waiting for him to judge us for blowing it, for messing up. I didn't go to church and I made some bad choices and I was a bad person. That's not the God that he is. He is here to judge us, but he's a loving father, not here to rub it in your face. Why are you doing this? So if we don't ever get convinced that God is the loving father, we're going to view him different. We're not going to see him as the one that is here to, we're here to help and guide us with that talent. I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's what grace is for, right? I messed up, but that's what grace is for. I can do whatever I want, and God's grace will cover me, and I'm good. That's not how it works. It says, what, by grace we are what? Saved. By grace we are saved, but it also says faith without what? Works is dead. We're saved by grace, but faith without works is dead. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives, right? Created them. Got a journey, think of it this way, of stewardship that we get to go on with them when we understand our place in that stewardship. We understand him as that loving father instead. Anybody have kids that are getting older and you got choices? Well, not that. Not that. Getting to the adulthood stage. I'll talk about real briefly about a guy at work. We work with him close, and his youngest daughter is 16, and mom was out of town for work, and he was at the fire hall for the night, and it was like the first night she was home alone. And I'm not saying any names, and they didn't do anything wrong, mostly. But he told her, just stay home, no boys over. So later in the night, the neighbor calls and he goes, there's a car that's parked behind your garage and it just doesn't look right. So he calls home and he gets a 16-year-old daughter and turns out there's a boy over at the house. As she got older and she was trusted with some more, she made her choice to, am I going to follow the way I was raised? Am I going to follow my upbringing? I know this isn't right. Mom and Dad said not to, but I got a little bit of freedom. I got a choice. Am I going to do what I was told to do, or am I going to choose to stewardship that trust or stewardship that what they've raised me and brought me up in? Again, they didn't do nothing wrong. I'm not tattling on anybody. It's a good reference. You know, her level of trust with them went down just a little bit, though. When we're obedient, when we're faithful and understanding and willing to do what God wants us to do, when we steward our lives and our gifts, he's going to open up doors. He's going to make a way where there is no way. He's going to send you down paths that you had never even dreamed of or dreamt of. He's going to make a way when we steward that gift, when we're willing to submit and do what he has to say. Easiest way to set yourself up for your calling is to have a healthy dose of stewardship in your life. So I've kind of beat that one to, I beat it in there. Number one, cheat code, stewardship, is a decision of faith, trust, and commitment, and it's going to unlock some big things in your life. If you want some cheat codes, there's the number one right there. Cheat code number two. And again, these are things I've been reading and thinking about, but be here, not there. Life is busy. Everything, we're always running, we're going, and we're always trying to do more and do and be involved in everything. We were just recently on vacation a little bit. We went to visit some friends down in Arkansas, and we were sitting on the river, and Kim's phone was in the car or something. She said, oh, I should take a picture. I'm like, just take a mental picture. We don't need it. We be in the moment, be here, not there. And I've been trying to do that a little bit more. Put that picture up, Lip Rocky. This is one of my favorite pictures on the internet here a little bit. A little bit of it's generational, but nope, not that one. Now we're getting to that one yet. Obviously, they're at an event or something because they got the fence and they're holding it up, and you look at every person in the background and they got their phone. Dude's looking and typing. He's not even paying attention to what's going on. Everybody is somewhere, but the only one that's there is the old that gal with the circle. No phone, just sitting there, big smile, enjoying whatever she's watching. That's one of my favorite pictures lately. Be here, not there. And I'm not saying be here specifically in this church, and I'm not calling anyone out for missing church or anything like that. That's not the point where I'm going. Be in the moment and be where God wants you to be. When we're there, you're going to get put to work. If you're home doing something else, or if you're not willing to be there, you might not get assigned a task. You might not be given a duty. But when you're present, you're going to get put to work. Many of us live our lives, and we're just going. We're busy, but we're not present in the moment. And I'm not preaching about society and addictions and phones. I'm not saying anything like that because I take a lot of pictures of my phones. I like having memories and stuff, and you can look back, and it's cool. But it's also, we need to be there. You notice things when you're present. You might notice that person sitting next to you at church that's obviously having a hard day. That might need a hug, might need to talk, need some encouragement. When you're present, when you're there, ready, you're going to notice things. Distracted drivers. How many people think they can drive and do something on your phone? There's a reason there's a law for it. And I'm as guilty as most, and I'll say I'm a professional because I'm trained to be on my computer at work and driving a fire truck, and we do actually train on it. But whenever you're doing something, you'll be riding down the road, and I'm just going to check a quick text. I'm not in the moment. I'm on my phone. All of a sudden, brrr, rumble strip. Straighten back up. Brrr, rumble. You think you're there, but you're not there. You're distracted. Don't be distracted by the things of the world. Be present. Be there. Stop trying to do everything. Which kind of goes contrary to, I'm trying to fire people up. I'm trying to get your, to engage your talents or your gifts that God wants you to use. That's my purpose here. Keep it focused. Keep it following what God has to say. This is what I want. Cheat code number three. If you're keeping notes, number three, don't let your circumstances become your disability. I should have typed them out, shouldn't I? Don't let your circumstances become your disability. And I'm not trying to offend anyone or make any, to put anyone down, because there are circumstances in life that take us down. There's thing, if you're sick, if you're, they can take us down. So again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm just trying to make a point is don't let it become your disability. Well, I'd witness to them, but I did a lot of bad things in my younger years, and I'm really not qualified. And don't let it become a disability. God saved you. God healed you. Oh, I'd love to do this, but I'm too old, or I'm sick, or I'm just not qualified. Don't let your circumstances become your disability. Well, I'd like to go to church, but I got kids and it's hard. And I was there. We didn't go to church a few times because of young kids. But if you do, God's going to reward you. People go through stuff. I understand that. But don't let it be a permanent disability. Rise above it. Let God deliver you from it. Make a way for you. Open some doors. Eventually, you kind of think of that disability as a free pass. Oh, I'd like to do this, but I've got this, so I guess I'm just not going to do it. I get a pass. I'm free. I'm not a real good speaker, so I don't have to preach. I'm not a real good speaker, but God opens doors and makes a way. Make an effort. Don't let it become a disability is also basically stewardship. I'm going to skip that point because it's getting later already. It's not that really relevant. Cheat code number four. We're gaming away. We're entering these things in. Action is greater than perfection. Amen. Action is greater than perfection. So my example here, and I'm not bragging on myself at all, because that's not what I'm doing, but it was my example that came to my head right away. We started the church here, and I wanted to get the old-timers a little bit into the new era and try to get things. I wanted a website that wasn't 10 years old, and I wanted sermons online, and I wanted some things. But I'm not a computer guy. I'm far from the right guy to do this. But a little by little, I wanted it. So I said, I'm going to do it. We're going to get this done. And little by little, I'm not saying it's good, but it's there a little bit. The website's there. Sermons are there. We're getting feedback from people from churches years ago that are thankful that they get to hear and listen. So take action. Just put one foot in the other, in front of the other, in front of the other, and you're going to get somewhere. Don't worry that I don't look like a mega church and my website isn't the flowingest thing. Just take some action and just make it work. Some people here need to, again, I'm trying to encourage you, walk out the door after church today and just take some action. Do something. He's laughing at me here. I'm not saying go home and do work, but start with praying. God, what is my talent? What is my gift? As you can tell, we're not a church that just sits and the one pastor preaches every Sunday. We want everybody engaged. We're a family here. We're a congregation of believers with one goal, to spread his word, spread his message. I don't care if the church is full or not, as long as people are spreading the word. That is the number one main goal. I want to see people come to know him. Amen. Be present in the moment and get to work. Do something. If you're not sure what you can do, come talk to some of us. We'll talk to you. Mom will probably start with John, who's down in Sunday school. How many times did she say, we need Sunday school teachers? Number five, cheat code number five. You can take that picture down, Rocky, unless you really want to leave it up there. Be in community and accountable. Kirsten mentioned a little bit about this morning. I don't want to tattle on her, but they're talking about the kids, and they said, well, we don't need to go to church, or don't. People think a little bit of, I study, I read, I don't have to be at church, I'm busy, I'm at work. We need people. We need community. We need to be engaged with others. We talk about this a lot here at Redemption, and it's kind of a big thing to us. When you're in community, what are you? You're held accountable. We don't keep attendance here, but if I see someone missing for a couple weeks, we're going to give them a, hey, what's up? What's going on? The more that you're held accountable, the more that you're with people that are in the like belief and of the like, they're going to keep an eye on you. And if you're starting to stray, hopefully we can get that in check, and we're going to come right on back in. Community is important. Accountability is important. Not looking to be a call everyone out on every little thing. Hey, you said this. But we need to be able to be held accountable. When you're more self-aware and have people in your life and show you your blind spots, might show you some weaknesses, help you through them, help you overcome them. Call out that calling on your life to encourage you. It's not just to hold you accountable, but it's to encourage you. To assist you, to help you on that calling. You get stuck down in a pit sometime, and I'm going to help you climb back out of that pit. Give you some footage, give you some leverage. There's more than life than to just being. We are called, we've got a purpose, we've got a mission. God's got so much that he wants us to do. We were just on vacation in Arkansas there, and I wanted to go to church on Sunday morning. And down there, there's churches everywhere. It was pretty cool to see because right here in this few blocks, there's a lot of churches. They got way more churches than that down there. I mean, there's a church everywhere, and they're big churches. Everybody in Arkansas down there goes to church. Makes me want to move down there a little bit. And they're big churches. And we were only down there for 2.5 days or so with the drive-in on the other side, but I wanted to go visit and see somebody. Where else am I going to have the opportunity? So I'm looking online, and I'm searching the names, and I see one that says Christ Community Church. I'm like, that sounds pretty good. I like it. Look them up on the website and go to one of their sermons, and it's like, these are our kind of people. I went through about 3 or 4 of them. They're like, nah, pass, nah, pass. But we went, and long story short, the kids are like, we got to go to church. We're on vacation. We do a lot of church. We're fine. We can skip 1 week. I don't feel guilty. I'm like, I don't feel guilty, but I want to go to church. I did. Where is that going with that? Anyway, so we went to church. We pull in the parking lot, and I park in the back, and the kids are... Avery especially, she's like, oh, we don't know anybody. I'm not. We went in there, and that place was more inviting than you could ever imagine. We had tons of people gathered right up to us. I mean, I didn't get 2 feet inside the door before I was shaking hands. In the parking lot, they had signs right up front row, guest park or first-time visitor parking. Had I known, we could have pulled up and parked right in the front. We could have been VIP celebrities. I wanted to go move the van up front just because of that, but we were greeted. It was awesome. They were nice. They were community. We didn't know them, but I felt like home. Their service was just like us. Not that we have everything going on, but I could stay there and gone to church many times. On the YouTube, I saw the pastor, so I recognized him. As we were sitting there waiting for church to start, he walked by. I went up, shook my hand, talked just like we were talking with friends here. It was really cool. I went and talked to the tech guy and looked at their computers and all their tech stuff because it's nice. Every one of them, community. We need that in our lives. After the service, I talked to that pastor for just a minute. After the service, he came back to me and he said, so how do you like the service, Corey? Remembered my name. It was just like being at home. We need that in our life. Community and accountability and just being involved. Anybody agree with that? You can stay at home, you can read, you can watch online, but you're going to miss out on a whole lot of family and a whole lot of loving when you're present. Last one, number six. Deepen your well. We need a deep well. Can't have just a shallow little following of Christ. We can't have just a little knowledge. And everyone goes in steps. I know that we start somewhere and you can't go from brand new Christian to 50-year believer. We go in steps, but a goal, a cheat code, deepen your well. My example here or thoughts on this is, again, I was at work when I was writing this sermon, and I'm not bragging on myself again, but it's what's coming to head. At the fire hall, when you're new, I'll tell a little on my first day going there, and I'd already been in EMS for years prior to that. My first day heading to the fire hall, I was so nervous, I stopped and used the bathroom at a gas station before I got there. That's how nervous I was, because my guts were rolling. Now I've been there 24 years, and that place is like home to me. I feel comfortable there. And you see all these young guys that are, they're constantly reading, and they're constantly looking, and they're nervous for this event, and you could go from eating dinner to in a warehouse fire or working on a baby not breathing, any call. And they're nervous in there, and I'm just one even easy keel all the time through. I can go to work and sleep like a baby when we get the chance, and I'm not worried about that apartment fire that might come in or that warehouse or the people that are dying in the window because I know I'm confident in my skills, I'm confident in my experience and my ability that I can handle what's thrown at me. I don't have to worry and worry. And I know I do my best to fix everything I can when I'm there. But I don't worry about, am I ready for this or am I ready for that? I think I've been put in the time. I put in the, my well of knowledge is deep. And I feel confident that I can handle anything thrown at me. So that said, tomorrow might be a big, busy day at work. But we need to do that in our lives with Christ. We need to deepen our well. We need to be confident in his ability. We need to be confident in our walk with him and our knowledge of him and just not, oh, it's church day. I got to get to church and get my Jesus on today. Jesus should be on 24/7, volume cranked up. We should be connected. Our well should be deeper than that. And there's nothing wrong with coming to church early and praying because we encourage that. But you shouldn't have to spend hours in prayer to get in. We should be in at all times. We need a deep well. Put that picture back up of that dude with the guitar. In September, anyone came to the pastor's conference that was here, the IM conference in April? We got, there's two of them. That's the parent organization that we're a part of. Paul's dad, Steve's dad, was the founder of it. We've been part of that forever. They have a spring conference, which the last 2 years has been here, and we are thankful for that because it's been awesome. And then they have a fall one. I went down to the fall one. I was working in the cities, and then I decided it was the timing worked out just right, so I went down to it. And it was at a big church, seated 500 people. And I love worship. And I went in there hoping for a big, huge stage and lights and a band, and I was just, whoo, I was ready. I was excited to be able to experience that. And I got there, we were in the youth sanctuary, so it was pretty small, and that was the music right there. Dude with his guitar. And occasionally he'd go up and bang on that drum a little bit. And I was deflated. I'm like, man, I just drove 4 hours to get here. It's like 6 hours from home, but I spent like $180 in gas to get there, and I wanted some good music. I tell you what, that place was full of pastors, and it was full of people that are engaged, and their wells are deep. And that one dude rocked it. That worship was better than I could have hoped for. He had a heart. His well was deep. I even went up and told him that story afterward because we're believers, we're friends. Never met the guy. And I told him the whole story. I'm like, man, I was hoping for a big band and lights and music and drums. And I came in, I saw you, I was disappointed. And he just laughed at me. And then I told him the rest. And then I got a big hug. If your well's deep, you don't need to pray. You're ready. You're always ready. You don't need I'm not getting it out. The words aren't coming. But when you're deep and you're engaged, you are ready anytime. And those that have come to the pastor's conference here will say the same thing. It doesn't take 4 or 5 songs of worship to get them engaged. It starts out, boom, right now, because they are engaged all the time. God's talking, God's moving, and God's doing something. I got to skip like 2 pages because I'm off track here. I want to be with Jesus. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to talk to God. I wanted to hear his voice, feel his presence. Same with my sermon. I pray and ask what to talk on, but obviously I didn't hear quite right the first 3 times because it took the 4th try before I finally got to where I think I needed to be. When we're present, when we're engaged, when we have proven our worth through stewardship, God's going to use you. I've seen people that I know, he's done this before, I can trust him. Come on up and do something. Put me in, coach. When you are present in the moment, ready, engaged, put me in, coach. Steve used that last 2 weeks ago or so. I'm ready. So my message today is not nothing new. It's not nothing you haven't heard before. We all have heard that parable. We've all heard the talents. But I think it was just a reminder for somebody here today. If maybe not somebody there, maybe it was a reminder for me or a making sure I was hearing God's word of what he wanted to talk about today. It's basically a practical message. God wants to engage your calling from him in your life. I'm doing my best to inspire it. I preached on it 2 times now. In essence, though, in reality, you got to take ownership. You have to do something. I can preach and rant all I want up here, but unless you take action and put that one foot in front of the other, I can't make you do that. So I'm here to remind you, God has a calling on your life. Number one, God has a calling on each and everybody's life. Are you listening? Are you willing to engage that? Are you ready to step out into the unknown? Go through some doors that you might have never could imagine would ever open up before. I don't have it in my notes, but I read it this morning. Oh, let me look real quick. 1 Peter 1. I don't remember if it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter. Bear with me for just a moment. I don't think it's 1st. Maybe it's 2nd. Yeah, 2nd. 2nd looks a little better. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Actually, that whole, I'm going to read it. Simon Peter, a bondservant, we're in 2 Peter starting in verse 1. I'm just going to read a few verses. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Cleansed from your old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want to waste my talents. I don't want them taken away from me. I want to utilize them, and I want everybody to utilize your talents. There's places that they can be utilized here. There's places they can be utilized in the world, at work, and at home, on the street. It can be utilized anywhere. God has a plan. He's got that map. Don't shut them out. So that's my message. You want to close it out? Go ahead and close it out. I'm giving it to Dad. Dad's always got something to cap. Or maybe...
I do. Steve's going to close it out. And don't forget, there's some cake and stuff downstairs. Amen?
Praise the Lord. So I'm dessert. This is.
Make you feel a little better. You pulled it out nice, solid.
The Lord.
What I said, we're blessed with so many pastors. Yeah. Amen.
That's why I love this place. Everybody's connected to Him.
Amen. I was glad you preached out a new King James today. That was good. This is a scripture the Lord gave me for somebody here this morning. We need to get deeper in the well, each and every one of us. That was good, Corey. Wasn't that good? The Word of God is alive and powerful, and it's practical. It doesn't have to be, woo, just like when he said he's looking forward to a full band. I've been in worship services. I remember as a kid, one guy would get up there with his guitar, and the Holy Spirit would just hit. Nothing fancy, but the anointing. And this is a scripture for somebody here. Maybe it's for me. I don't know. Isaiah 26:3 says this. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. God's given you these talents in your life, and I think there's been an ongoing message for months now about stirring the pot in your life, fan into flame, and utilize what God has given you. The Lord is coming very quickly. If you don't believe it, then you haven't been reading the Bible. He wants us to use our talents for His glory. I don't know about you. I'm just like Corey. I don't want God to take away what He's given me and give it to somebody else because I was too proud to use it, too scared to use it. There's no place to be scared. God can even take the junk in your life and make it something glorious. He can take your manure pile, all the stuff that you've done in your life in the past that you think there's no help from. He can take your manure pile and make it into fertilizer to do something great with. Amen? That was a really good word. Really good word. Lord, we just ask you right now that the words that were spoken today would be planted in good soil, that there would be a harvest, an abundance of harvest, Lord, that it would not return void, but God, you would allow it to prosper in every man and woman's life here, Lord, that heard this message. Lord, use our talents. Allow us to be able to surrender what we have to you today, God, to be used for your glory. And we praise you for that. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.